couple of years back, I was invited to sail aboard a yacht that did not heel. Aha, you'll be thinking, a multi-hull of some sort, but she wasn't. She was a monohull with a big difference. Her mast was stepped on an internal swivelling ring frame, which was somehow attached to the ballast. When the wind blew, the rig heeled as normal, but the boat remained upright inside the ring frame, and away we went. To an old-fashioned chap like me, the experience bordered on the bizarre, and watching the yacht from a distance as she reached bravely along with her rig apparently hanging over the side bent the mind. But it worked, and I wished the designer well. The innate conservatism of sailors consigned this remarkable innovation to history's sidelines, but I remembered it this morning when a correspondent asked me how to help his partner who couldn't stand heeling. This sort of nervousness, which many of us have seen, was thrown into glaring perspective yesterday when I put to sea in Mounts Bay aboard a proper Cornish lugger. The restored sailing machine was very much the real thing. No frills and no sops to modern development except for auxiliary power. Her sails were a modern flax derivative, generally known as Duradon, but they felt like traditional canvas, with bolt ropes thicker than a fisherman's thumb and cringles that would brain you as soon as look at you. Even the ropes, although nominally of a polyester persuasion, had somehow taken on the quality of old hemp. Built in the 19th century as a St. Ives mackerel driver, the boat had begun life as a 32-footer. Later, like nearly all her sisters, she submitted to the march of time and received an engine. She was also lengthened by 8 feet. In 1900, lengthening fishing vessels was common practice. Somehow they carried it off without interrupting the shear. Keels were scarfed with wicked skill. Plank butts were staggered to bolster longitudinal stability. A new deck and hatches were banged on, and away you went. Sailing the lugger in a stiff breeze hammered home the difference between drifting for mackerel in 1890 and cruising down the Solent on a sunny 21st century afternoon. A lug sail is connected to its unstayed mast only by the yard, which spreads its head. The tack is hooked to the bow of the boat, and the clew attaches to a very heavy 4-to-1 sheet tackle. The halyard and a shifting backstay are led outboard to stay the spar, and that's more or less that. When fully hoisted to give it a tight luff, the sail creates an uninterrupted aerofoil of prehistoric beauty. In brute area, it would cover a couple of Routemaster double-deckers on their sides and hang down over the edges. A hard-pushed lugger was capable of remarkable passage times. In 1905, the Nellie Jane stormed down the 550 miles from Scarborough to St. Ives in 56 hours to land her catch on arrival. Some did even better. At sea, the forelug seems to lift the bow rather than drive it down, as ours do, conferring a sense of flying across the water. The day of reckoning comes when it's time to tack, to reef, or to do anything in the way of manoeuvring apart from blasting along, delighting in being alive. The maniac of a sail must somehow be bundled across the boat so it can fly to leeward of the mast on the new tack. The halyard and various other items must be passed across. The sheet is let go and reattached on the new side as the yard is dipped around the mast. All this goes on as the boat shoots through the wind in face of any sea that's rude enough to get in her way, while the flailing canvas battles to swell the undertaker's bill. The level of seamanship transcends anything most of us can imagine. Fishermen did it every day, and a few bold souls are keeping the traditions alive. There are even sailors in deepest Cornwall operating these mystical craft with no engines at all. Hairy isn't in it, and here we are, worrying about a bit of healing. Makes you think, doesn't it?